Paul Bushnell is our podcast critic. He's also the manager of RNZ Auckland. Have you noticed our knitted critters arriving,
Paul? I was admiring them today. They look absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I had no idea how many we were going to get when we opened the competition. And I was talking to Caitlin, our content director, and she reckons they've become this place you can go at RNZ where the darkness of the day's news, when it gets too much, you can come and see
just the
light and love that we've put into these knitted.
And just pick up these gorgeous things and think, oh my gosh, you know, someone's poured in their creativity and imagination, and they look gorgeous and they're clever and amusing, and you just want to cuddle them. They're fantastic.
You do. And if people are just casual listeners and haven't heard about this competition, we've asked people to knit their favourite native species or knit something inspired by their favourite native species, and a lot of them, we're sending them to the Mangere Refugee Resettlement Centre for New Zealanders, and a lot of them have notes attached that people have written, so it's been a very heartwarming exercise. Paul is looking at podcasts today. How much podcast listening do you do?
Probably about 20 to 30 hours a week.
Oh, you're serious then, eh?
Pretty devoted.
During the commute?
Pretty commute stuff, and in bed at night as well too. You know, so there are certain commutes that, like, there's a BBC program that I listen to that I want that to help me get to sleep, that I can listen to the same program again and again and again because I hear about the first 15 minutes of it.
And it's so good.
It's this reassuring sort of calm voices.
Yeah.
Normally, of course, with a podcast, what you want to do is to really focus on what you are interested in.
That's right.
And that's the great thing for me about podcasts, is this thing that you can narrow down, or it goes narrow as wide, actually, as you want to, and find content which is right for you, and that's incredibly satisfying.
I know loads of people who listen to podcasts in bed. I don't know if it quite qualifies as that sort of, you know, it's like they say for sleep hygiene, you should have a clean room and avoid digital technologies and stuff. I don't know if it's recommended.
Well, I know that for me, actually, that's a really, really weird reason, that the reason why I know that for me, having a voice murmuring in the background, actually is something which connects with childhood. And my mother, I was number five of a brood of children, and for her, you know, I remember have childhood memories of her reading in bed to me with this voice that was very sort of calm. Now I realise it was exhausted, you know, but it's associated with that sort of sense of familiarity and the sense of sort of reassurance, and have something murmuring in the background is really great.
So until someone releases an Exhausted Mum podcast, what else have you found for us? You're actually going to look at a little niche of podcasts today.
Yeah, well, there's one specific area, which is the area sort of drama podcasts, of if you like, narrative storytelling stuff, which I think is rare for me is really interesting because I've been involved with radio for 25 years. My background before then was somewhat associated with drama as well too. And drama in RNZ, for example, in public radio is a very, very significant part of our legacy and also what we currently do. But drama has really taken flight in the podcast era, because what we're getting with some of the best of the drama podcasts are works which are created very specifically to hear with earbuds, you know, to hear in a way that's just really intimate as well too. And it's something which, for the best of them anyway, the ones with the genre conventions, the kind of stuff you see on Netflix, on TV and so on, but adapt them for radio, for audio form, in a way that's really satisfying.
Great. What have you got for us today?
Okay, well, I want to talk specifically about a connection with RNZ, actually. It was a former head of RNZ Drama, John Dryden, who's a UK originally journalist, actually, and producer, who went on to become a drama producer, who's created amazing series, actually, for BBC. But in podcast form, he's created two series in the past, and there's a current series rolling out week by week at the moment. The ones in the past were called The Message and Life After, and the one which is running at the moment is called Passenger List. And all of these productions are really marked by the way in which they're actually created. Mm-hmm. So what he did even when he was a drama producer, where he could, was to actually go on location, was to actually create the radio drama as though it were on a film location, and to be doing everything in a real space. And that was true even of his really early drama for the BBC. He did an amazing version of Bleak House, Dickens' drama, actually. But these most recent ones have a sort of science fiction kind of thread to them, and a sense of sort of, they're working within a sort of genre, slightly kind of futuristic kind of stuff. They deal with things like, you know, the way in which people manipulate artificial intelligence, the idea of a super kind of Facebook, how it might become slightly malignant, potentially, in terms of its effect on someone who is grieving for a dead wife. We've got some really interesting sort of social themes, but all told within a cracking yarn, with a great twist at the end of the series as well, too.
So what's the premise of The Message, for example?
Well, The Message is a really, really clever one, because what it imagines is, it's not indicated that it doesn't use the name Facebook. You imagine a Facebook style of social media platform in which this a series of voice messages are left from this wife to her husband, and she dies. And he obsessively...
Sorry, is this Life After we're talking about, or The Message?
I'm sorry. Yes, you're dead right. I'm talking about Life After, actually.
Well, stick with Life After.
Okay, sure. So, sorry about that. Yes, they were actually formed both actually almost as a kind of, you know, paired series, actually, by the original production company. Yes, Life After imagines that he's obsessively listening to these recordings, and he knows hundreds of them, and he knows them off word by word, because they're the thing that brings the voice of his dead wife to life. And then they start to create that new messages come with the wife's old voice. And that's really where the story starts.
What a great idea.
It's
so
really
as you
clever.
Say, there's plenty of that sort of AI and new technology in there.
Yeah, the stuff which
he's you, not sure what's going on.
No. And in fact, he gets drawn to this incredibly Byzantine plot, and which is kind of to do with artificial intelligence, to do with the role of social media and controlling our lives. But it's with a tremendously cracking kind of thrillerish kind of component as well too, and a big twist at the end that is incredibly satisfying.
Oh, good. And for people who think, well, oh, wouldn't I just go to a movie or see a TV show? It sounds like this is genuinely pretty gripping.
Well, I think that's the great thing about this stuff. This is stuff that's with you. This is stuff you can listen to while you're doing other things, while you're on a bus.
Right.
You know, while you are in bed, you know, while you're cooking, for example. And it's stuff which is incredibly satisfying, incredibly interesting, and especially as it pumps out as The Passenger List, which is the current production of his coming out every week, pumping out one episode at a time. You know, you really get the sense that you're involved with this as an audience member from week to week.
Okay, and so what is The Message then? It's a bit more of a sci-fi one.
The Message, this is such a clever idea as well too. This is the precursor to Life After. But the idea is that this recording was made in the 1940s, which has been kind of rediscovered. And there's a group of cryptographers who are trying to decode what this recording actually tells us, because the story goes that the recording kills anyone who listens to it.
Great. I love it. So that's a little bit like the that movie The Ring, wasn't it? But I suppose the idea of found material and turning that into a piece of art, I mean, that's been done for
eons. Yeah, it's a good, absolutely. Good, and it's a very cinematic format. Thing too. It's slightly unusual, I think, to have it done especially as well as this, you know, for audio. And audio has to really convey the story and actually tell you what's happening. The great thing about the Message is that there's something that's hidden in plain sight, and it becomes very science fiction-y towards the end, that you suddenly realise, oh wow, this is the twist which you haven't been expecting, and it suddenly makes sense of everything which you've heard before. It's very exciting.
Okay, so that was The Message and Life After, both by the same production company, and worth looking up. So tell us some more about Passenger List.
Okay, Passenger List is this current production of John's. He's often involved as a writer, but always as a kind of executive producer. He has a range of different kinds of roles in it. And in this case, what you've got is an airline. This feels very much a sort of current affairs story. An airline has disappeared on a flight, transatlantic flight. And the sister of one of the people who was killed has disappeared in the flight is trying to find out what happens. She has a kind of eminence grise, this kind of voice that she only ever hears actually on the phone, with a disguised technology masking the sound of the voice, who seems to be kind of directing her to go and talk to this person and that person and so on. And it's sort of somewhat Machiavellian. You don't know what's happening. You're trying to unfold the causes of this episode by episode. It's only about halfway through so far. I'm really enjoying it.
And I suppose hard not to think of something like MH370 as your...
Of course it is. Yeah, that seems very real. I mean, one of the aspects of the way in which John records this stuff is that he will use, because everything's out and about in the field, he will use, if someone's, speaking on a phone line, he'll use an actual real recording of a phone conversation. Mm. He'll use recording of someone having left voicemail messages. So the texture, the oral texture of the real world that we're so used to seeing from the CNN coverage and other kind of coverage as well, to get this case fed into the drama, to add a real sense of kind of here it is, it's here and now, and this is really happening, and it's very powerful.
And I think I heard a trailer for a podcast the other day that featured a really big name. Who was it? One of those actors. I'm trying to remember his name. He's got the sister, Gyllenhaal, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh well,
so it's starting to attract.
Yeah,
some big,
well, that's certainly
performers.
Interesting. I mean, absolutely. Even in John's this most recent series, John's had the involvement of Patti LuPone, who's a big Broadway star, actually. Mm-hmm. Rami Malek, who's really well known from TV, and of course in Bohemian Rhapsody as well too, starred in what I thought was a pretty patchy piece, not particularly well written actually, but he was a really major voice. And it's so interesting that the kind of investment which these big stars had to do in terms of coming in to record voices for a few days is so much less than doing anything visual, that it seems to be people, you can get these big names involved, which add a sense of luster, a sense of kind of star power, which I hope also generates audience as well.
Great. Hey, excellent recommends. I see they are not on our website yet, but we'll make sure that they are for people who didn't catch all those titles. The final one, though, was Passenger List, and Paul Bushnell, thanks so much for talking us through them.